Good afternoon, everybody. This is John Reese of BluePower.com coming to you live from Van Nuys, California. I'm sitting here with Mr. John Hiller, all the way from Chicago. We're going to talk today about the Muddy Waters tribute. How you doing, John?
I'm doing great, John. It's a pleasure to be here.
Glad to have you, man. Let's listen here.
The old man was in the 97. They call me Muddy Waters. I'm just a red guy for land and a deep blue sea. Just a red dazzle land in the deep blue sea. Thank you. She's just a sweet owl, she can be.
Mr. John Hiller, you had a great deal to do with the Muddy Waters tribute last year in Chicago.
Yes,
I did. That was the first one, wasn't it?
It was the first one of many to come, yes.
You told me earlier about what a wonderful deal that was to put together and your involvement with it and the people that played on that live gig. Who were the people who played and members of the band?
Oh, that's – well, first of all – the backing band was stupendous that night. Some really, really great players. Mark Brumbach, who used to play with Jimmy Reed years ago, and Johnny Young on piano. Tad Robinson on harmonica. We had Pat McKeever, who's been around and playing with Willie Kent lately. Mark Wydra, who's a 30-year veteran of the scene, played with just about everybody as well. I was fortunate enough to play drums. And then you get to the big heavy hitters. You know, you had Rick Crayer, who played with Muddy Waters, and you had John Primer, and you had Smokey Smothers and little Arthur Duncan. And just, you couldn't ask for a better group of people to share a stage for 2.5 hours.
How did this all come about?
The city of Westmont, after much discussion for a number of years, decided that Muddy was such an important part of the village and gave back so much to that town of just under 40,000 people. And he did live there the last 10 years of his life, up until 83, until he passed away, that they wanted to do something special for him. So when I got contacted, you know, through about three different parties, they said they want to do something special for not only Muddy, but the family as well.
Yeah.
And really pay homage to the guy who is such a great blues artist. I mean, yeah. So fundamentally, it came down to, you know, getting some players that we could put together on the bandstand that would do the music justice. They were going to fly the family up, and they were going to do a couple things that were really special. And that was, one, rename the Main Street Cass Avenue, which is this pretty significant road, honorary Muddy Waters Way. And the signs are stupendous. We had a Senator Dillard from Illinois who actually came and spoke at the renaming of that street. We had 20 Morgan Fields on the bandstand that night as the keys to the city were given by the mayor to Marva.
Excellent.
And all in conjunction with having a beautiful exhibit at their city hall.
Yeah.
With clothing, Grammys, guitars, pictures, music. Those couple, three, 4 days were really, really wonderful.
They must have been special. I mean, just to...
Oh.
Just to be involved. I love
honored.
Things like that.
Yeah, and yeah, it's really nice.
So how many people came?
We had just under 3,000 that night.
3,000 people.
I mean, the place was packed. We were supposed to go from 8 to 10 and went from 8 to 11:30 and couldn't get people to go home. So it was a great night, and I don't think, you know, we could have kept playing. You know, it was all that good.
That's amazing, man. You've been playing drums in Chicago a long time, since you were 15,
That's
right?
Over 30 years, yeah.
And you must have played with damn near everybody in the Chicago scene.
A lot of folks, yeah.
Did you ever play with Robert Nighthawk?
No, that's, yeah. I
was that too early? Was
a little early for me.
Yeah. I mean, the Chicago scene has always amazed me because it was... To me, I grew up in the South, and, you know, I listened to WLAC radio and those guys and most of the black stations because that was the kind of music I wanted to hear,
right.
Much to my parents' chagrin
right.
at the time. But when I discovered Chicago, I mean, when I discovered VJ and Chess, you know, and all those great labels, Checker and Argo. I mean, it was just, I thought I'd struck gold.
Oh, yeah.
But when I first heard Muddy Waters, When I first heard "Good Morning, Little Schoolgirl,"
yeah,
I said, "Man, this is the stuff. This is the real
deal.
Main stuff." Yeah. You know. As a matter of fact, I'd like to hear "Good Morning, Little Schoolgirl" right now. You don't mind that,
oh,
do you?
Oh, please.
All right.
Morning, little school girl, can I go home with you? Can I go home with you? Tell your mother and your father I once was a schoolboy too. Sometime I don't know what a woman put in this world. A woman, what in this world to do? I don't wanna hurt your feeling, I either get mad with you. Letting my airplane down. Now who's that coming yonder? Now who's that coming yonder? She all dressed up and pretty. She all dressed up and pretty. Yeah. If she don't be my baby, I'd soon to see.
The endings on those records, and yeah. You know, I used to listen specifically to the endings, and I got on a Bo Diddley, end of a Bo Diddley record, and the end of a Jimmy Reed record. You can hear the drummer throw the sticks across the room, okay, and at the end of I'm a Man, okay, the Bo Diddley version of I'm a Man on the single on the Lockout Groove Going Out. If you listen real close, you can hear him cussing at the bass player, which I think, I'm not sure, but I think it was Willie Dixon.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, you can, what are the bass?
Oh,
and it just goes out.
Yeah,
to
I'll check that out. I'll definitely put that
they,
out.
Because in those days, the tape just kept rolling, and they would just fade, you know, and that was it. That was the record.
Yeah.
Good morning, little schoolgirl. Can I go home with you, Mr. Muddy Waters? This is John Reese on BluePower.com, and today we're talking to Mr. John Hiller, who has come out here, I think, to see your daughter.
That's right.
And we managed to have him come by Blue Power this afternoon, and we're real happy to have you, John.
It's a pleasure to be here.
It's always nice to talk to somebody who is a very big part of a scene, a musical scene, and Chicago definitely has the blues scene. I mean, St. Louis is good, right. You know, Atlanta is good, But Chicago is the blues scene.
It's I'll tell you what, it's the Chicago blues to me is really pretty special. You know, back to the days where you could walk up and down Lincoln Avenue and you go from the Kingston Mines originally down to Wise Fool's Pub to you name it, and you could just see Albert Collins, you see Otis Rush, Cary Bell, there's Muddy Waters up the Quiet Night, you know, it was a cool time, you know.
We played a place, we opened, I had a band on Capitol called SRC, it was a kind of psychedelic rock band, but we opened, was it the Kinetic Playground or the Electric Theater? And I'm trying to think, it was a theater in Chicago where we opened for Albert King. In 1968, I think it was.
Kinetic Playground.
There you go. That's
it. I believe that was, yeah.
Yeah, that was, I had always loved Albert King.
Yeah. And,
yeah, and he was marvelous. But it's true, I think, that is Chicago's where the blues went electric.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's as I understand it, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, it was amazing to me when I was 14 or 15 years old because I was coming out of doo-wop, you know. Mm-hmm. Doo-wop was a big thing. And then there was the, of course, the acoustic blues, right. Charlie Patton and all these guys from Mississippi and Alabama. Mm-hmm. But then, bingo. You know, here comes the electric blues from Chicago, man.
Well, thinking about plugging in guitars after all those years.
Yeah.
But then give little Walter a microphone.
That's right.
I mean, that's...
Yeah, that tone.
Oh, that's... Yeah, that's
right. Yeah, little Walter, what a player. Mm-hmm. My babe. One of my favorite cuts of all time.
Yep.
And Juke.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, tell me something about the you have another tribute coming up this year, and it's going to be July the 16th, right, on a Sunday?
Correct. Always on a Sunday.
Is it going to be in the same place, in the same town?
Yep, same place.
Tell us about that.
It's coming up tentatively, and we have a few people locked in for sure. We're going to have John Primer back. We're going to have Muddy's Heart player Mojo Buford.
Dynamite, man.
The wonderful Sam Lay, one of my drumming idols.
Yeah.
Know, the guy I learned to play drums by listening to the Paul Butterfield record when I was in seventh grade. You know?
Yeah.
Backing band, pretty much the same. Willie Big Eye Smith, hopefully we'll be able to show up that night.
No, that'd be
great.
We've
been in discussions with him. So, I mean, you put Sam Lay, John Primer, Willie Smith, and Mojo Buford on a bandstand, that's going to be a good night.
Yeah, you're going to be picking up some sounds that transcend time.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a good night.
That'll be great.
Right. You bring Marvin and the family back, and it's going to be a nice time again.
Yeah.
Really nice time.
How hard did you have to promote last year's? You said you had 3,000 people show up. Did you promote it hard? Or
the Village of Westmont promoted a really hard promotion for that, and they worked through the papers, Chicago Sun-Times, Chicago Tribune. We made the front page of the Chicago Tribune by the efforts of the Village and the Special Events Committee. Larry did a great job of getting a lot of information out. The papers picked up on it. They were getting calls from suburbs within 30 miles of where that festival was going to take place. So it really worked out well, and a lot of folks showed up. And we're expecting this year to be even better.
Excellent.
So...
Well, I hope you have a place that'll hold more than 3,000 people.
Yeah, well, it's the entire street of Cass Avenue, so it's outside.
Oh.
So you just line them up. In fact,
they're moving
the stage back to make more room because the street is only 60 feet wide.
Okay.
So they're trying to move it back so they can get a couple areas off to the sides to add some folks.
Well, the thing this year is if you promote it, I mean, since we're promoting it, Blue Power's pretty strong in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be surprised if you don't see a bunch of people from Germany and England and France show up because, I mean, they would enjoy this very, very much.
We'd love to have them.
Yeah.
Oh, please.
Yeah.
If anybody could make that, you just come look me up. Come look me up.
Well, I tell you what. Let's play another Muddy Waters song right now. What would you like to hear?
Oh, you know what? Not a bad song, John.
I know. How about 40 Days and 40 Nights?
That sounds good to me.
We can slow it down a little bit.
40 days! 40 nights since my baby left this town. Sun shining all day long, but the rain keep coming down. She's my life, I need her soul. Why she left, I just don't know. 40 days and 40 naughty night since I sat right down and cried. Keep raining all the time, but the river is running dry. Lord, help me, it just ain't right. I love that girl with all of my might. Since my baby broke my heart, searching for every while like a blind man in the dark. Love can make a poor man rich or break his heart, I don't know which. Ship out on the sea, praying for her each night that she would come back home to me. Life and love is right. I hope she come back home tonight.
Life is love and love is life. Hope she come back home tonight, Mr. Muddy Waters. This is John Reese here at BluePower.com, sitting here speaking with Mr. John Hiller from Chicago. And John has played with just about every blues guy in Chicago in his young life. Tell me something, John. We were just standing outside talking and having a cigarette, John was telling me some interesting things about different people that he had played with. You played with John Mayall.
Opened up for John.
Opened up for John. Yep. And, you know, we were talking about Mr. Mayall and how stiff he can be. John's an all right guy. He's probably seen it all, you know.
Oh, I'm sure.
And so tell me about some of the other gigs you had in Chicago. Through the years.
Yeah, I was very fortunate because I had a band back in the 70s called Blues by Five.
Yeah.
That we started working Lincoln Avenue. And after the band broke up and I was, just barely 17 or so, I was asked to join another band in Chicago that was called the Bob Reedy Blues Band. And the purpose of that was to have a revolving frontman situation. And I got into that band, and a week after I graduated high school, ended up in the back of a van eating chicken with Otis Rush on the way to Lincoln, Nebraska. And it was Otis Rush and Carrie Bell. And from that point on, we spent 3.5 years of traveling. That's how I got to meet Sam Lay and actually play behind Sam Lay.
I'll be darned.
Which is, you know, get to play with your idols.
You know?
And it was very cool. Then that band kind of stopped. I did do a stint of some really good rockabilly bands. I like that kind of stuff as well, you know.
Well, that's why you got involved with Matt Lucas.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
And we'll talk about Matt later.
Okay.
But, you were talking about a pool game with Otis Rush, which I found humorous. Why don't you relate that to us?
Well, you know, being 18 and being on the road, you know, it's a different world a little bit.
Yeah.
Back then we were only making $40 a night and you had to pay your hotel out of that. And
yeah.
In Omaha, Nebraska, Otis said, he asked me if I wanted to play some pool with him. Sure, I think I forget how many dollars a game. $25 later, the game was done, and I thought he was going to be a nice guy and give it back, and he kept my $25, which put a hurt into that trip.
Yeah, absolutely. But Otis is a great guy. Man.
Oh yeah, great. Oh, yeah.
Very humorous, very funny guy.
Yeah, he's a nice man.
Yeah. Well, drums are something else. I started out as a drummer, and I had an old Slingerland kit with a wooden snare, and I think it was a
goddamn 28-inch or 30-inch kick drum, huge damn drum. The problem with drums is, one, they're hard to run with.
Yes, they are.
And you generally have to be first guy there and the last guy to leave.
Isn't that the truth?
And you got the trap case.
Yes.
The trap case, man, which is full of heavy shit.
Carrying it up two flights of stairs, three flights. You got to get tired of doing that, you know.
Oh, man, I'm telling you. But John is a phenomenal player, and he brought with him some stuff that he has, some CDs in which he, on which he has played. And one of them is a Delmark CD by Mr. Dave Spector and Barkin' Bill Smith. And I want to play a cut now called Tell Me What's the Reason. That's a shuffle.
Yes, it is.
And it's excellent. And tell me a little bit about this CD and about the people involved here.
That actually was the first CD that I was asked to play on, thanks to Dave Spector. He called me up and said he just got a record deal with Delmark. And he asked around and called Tad Robinson and a few other people and said, who should I have play drums? And Dave was nice enough to give me a call. And this led to, thanks to this CD and Dave, led to a number of recordings on Delmark for me as a sideman, and has a wonderful Ronnie Earl on it. So it's Dave Spector, Barkin' Bill Smith, and Ronnie Earl, and again with some great Chicago players.
Oh, yeah. Can't beat the Chicago players. Let's have a little bit now of Tell Me What's the Reason.
You keep on teasing me. Tell me what's the reason you keep on teasing me. You said that you don't want me, but you just won't let me be. Tell me what's the reason you do the things you do. Tell me what's the reason you do the things you do. You're breaking my aching heart, and you hurt me through and through. Get up in the morning, feeling kind of good, hoping that my baby will do the things she should. Take her in my arm, hold her nice and tight, and all she wants to do is start another fight. Tell me what's the reason you keep on teasing me. You said that you don't want me, but you just won't let me be. Good, hoping that my baby will do the things she should. I take her in my arm, hold her nice and tight, and all she wants to do is start another fight. Tell me what's the reason you keep on teasing me. You said that you don't want me, but you just won't let me be. Tell me what's the reason you do the things you do. Tell me what's the reason you do the things you do. You're breaking my aching heart, and you're hurting me through and through. get up in the morning feeling kind of good, hoping that my baby will do the thing she should. I take her in my arms, hold her nice and tight, and all she wants to do is start another fight. Tell me what's the reason you keep on teasing me. You said that you don't love me, but you just won't let me be. Tell me what's the reason you do the things you do. Tell me what's the reason you do the things you do. You're breaking my aching heart till it hurts me through and through.
Breaking my aching heart till it hurts me through and through.
That's some great guitar playing.
Man, that really is. That's a great cut, man.
That's Dave Spector and Ronnie Earl.
Yes, sir. I'm telling you. You know, as a drummer, what do you play? What kind of kit do you play now? What do you?
Actually, I have five kits, but that kit was a old Gretsch kit, wood kit, with a 26-inch kick bass drum.
Really?
13-inch tom, 16 floor, and a nice deep snare drum.
What kind of cymbals do you like?
I like Pistes.
Yeah?
I'm playing, those are all 2002s.
You know, it used to be, I remember going to Manny's in New York and going through with some drummer friends of mine, and they would go through. We'd spend the day in the cymbal room.
Yeah.
Just looking for cymbals that had that drummer wanted that right sound.
That's right.
You know, and I couldn't believe how expensive they were.
hi-hat cymbals now for $350,
$400
for two cymbals, you know. So that's why I keep mine, you know.
Yeah.
I've had mine for 30 years.
Have there been any major changes lately in the last decade on hardware or anything young drummers should know about?
The hardware's gotten much, much better.
Really?
And frankly, you know, and I've got a bunch of old Gretsch kits that I use and some old Rogers kits that the engineers used to like because they tuned so well in the studio. They're great instruments. You just got to take a little more care with them. You know,
yeah.
Not like today. They're built a little better today. They can withstand a little bit more of the road. You know, I mean, throwing them back in the U-Haul trailer and driving to Canada was a lot harder on a kit from the 60s or 70s than it is nowadays.
Yeah. I was going to ask you a question. Drummers... Back in the old days, tuning was always a big thing with me as an engineer.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of guys would come in and just throw their kit up and start playing. I had been taught by an engineer who was Ivan Miles, who was a great engineer in Atlanta, told me, he said, always you want to tune the drums to the key you're playing in. And I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, you don't want a tom in F when you're playing in A.
Yeah, you know,
he said it because it's not in tune with what is in the key you're playing in. And I found that after a while, you know, I would ask drummers out here, you know, do you mind tuning for this cut? And they would look at me like I had three heads.
Yeah.
And I said, but, you know, that low tom, when you hit that, it goes against the grain with the bass.
Right.
Okay, and so if you don't mind, if you could tune that to the key of A or whatever, you know. I mean, after all, if you use timps, you got to have them in tune.
Right, they've got to be in tune, sure.
So, I mean, what do you think about tuning a drum?
Well, I've always been complimented on the sounds of my drums, you know. Not that I spend a bunch of time on it. I guess over 30 years, it's like tuning a guitar. You know, you can get it done in a few minutes.
Yeah.
Going into a studio, though, I think what's more important with an acoustic instrument is I always go to the studio the day before the session starts early and set them up and just let them get used to the room.
Yeah.
It'd be dry, humid, or whatever. And then I always believed in the kit should just be in tune with itself. I mean,
yeah.
You have a funky tom out there somewhere, or a bass drum that is not in accordance with the bass guitar.
Yeah.
Sound funny.
Yeah.
Because it's always about the right foot and the left hand of the bass player. You know,
right.
It's establishing that bass. So, what I always do, I don't tune to notes. Frankly, I don't even know how to tune to notes.
Yeah.
But I always make sure the kit is in tune with itself, and then it just sounds right.
Then it sounds right.
You know, and it's, I try to keep it simple like that.
Yeah.
It works for me.
Yeah. Do you ever work with any engineers that look for the sweet spot for the drums?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
See, I pretty much find it, though. You know, I'm a two-thirds player, so
yeah.
I'm a rim player on the snare drum.
Yeah.
So I've just had really good luck. I've got
some really nice kits that sound wonderful, whether it be live or in a studio. And so I've been, I'm pretty lucky. And that's why, frankly, I don't buy any more kits. You know?
Yeah.
I'm good. I'm good to go.
Yeah. Do you play overhand or standard?
I'm overhand.
Overhand.
I'm a match grip player.
Yeah. What sticks do you use?
I use Vic Firth 5As.
Vic Firth 5As.
Yeah, my favorite stick.
Yeah. What was the I remember the rock and roll sticks of the 60s. Where were they? Promark, was that a...
Yeah,
that,
Promark was
big. Great big...
Big beads.
Oh, God.
Heavy.
Heavy, go yeah. right through. I mean, I've seen, I've worked with drummers literally that would bleed when they came off a live set. I mean,
wow.
there would be blood all over the snare if they hit their finger.
Oh, my you goodness.
You know, I mean, just... Of course, drummers, my favorites at the, in the early, when I was just learning drums, were,
right.
of course, Louie Belson,
oh, yeah.
Buddy Rich, yeah. Stanley Black,
right.
people like that, the big band guys,
sure.
you know.
Krupa.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Krupa. You know, Buddy Rich was always a technician to me, you know, but Krupa was always the guy that had the most feel.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I appreciated them both for what they were. I
yeah.
mean, it's Buddy Rich, there's a concert he did, it's called Concert for the Americas, that was tabled
yeah.
for South America.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not a big fan of drum solos, because it's hard as, Philly Joe Jones could do something with the drum solo, you know.
Yeah.
But during that performance called Concert for the Americas, Buddy Rich does something that night that just unbelievable. It took the instrument to a whole new, just wonder, what a wonderful player.
Yeah, you're right. He was probably the finest technician
oh, yeah.
on the drums.
Yeah.
I have never seen a left hand like that.
No,
you
not
know?
Doing drum rolls, not doing the things that he could do.
There's an album that Capitol put out. It was a mono recording called Hi-Fi Drums.
Mm.
And it has, I mean, you know, all the great big band drummers.
Mm.
But Rich is on this thing and just... I worked for 6 months trying to cop the first 16 bars.
Yeah.
And never got it.
Yeah.
Never
well,
got it.
That's why there's only one Buddy Rich.
Just, right. And that's why I'm not a drummer today.
Right. right.
yeah. But tell me what's the reason. It was recorded in Chicago, mm-hmm. Chicago
yep.
Recording, right?
Correct.
And that's an old studio, isn't it? That's been around a while.
You know, I can't answer that because when I got there, it was that album goes back to, what, 90? Early 90s.
Yeah.
There's been an awful lot of famous music come out of CRC recorders.
Mm-hmm.
Big rooms, nice woody floors.
Yeah.
It was a nice studio. Most of the stuff that we've done in Delmark since that time through the 90s was all done at Riverside Studios, which is
okay.
their studio.
Yeah.
So, but I, you know, it's got quite a legacy the studio does.
Yeah. What's it like working with Bob Kester?
I like Bob.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, he's got the what? Oldest independently record company
yeah.
in the nation or whatever, 50-some-odd years.
Great label.
Great label. You know, years ago, if you were nice, you'd go down in the basement at Delmark Records and go hunting through all the old 78s. You know, he'd show you where all the cool stuff was. And you could buy that.
Which, that's amazing.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, I did an interview with Bob for Cashbox,
mm.
and he was a very, very nice man and very, very knowledgeable. Loves the music.
He is... He's an encyclopedia of music.
Yeah,
amazing guy with that type of information. Something I'm not, but I mean, this guy. Ask him a question.
Yeah,
you know,
don't you love people like that? Just sit down. I got a few hundred questions.
Exactly. I admire that. You know, because
yeah.
I can't do that.
And you know, it's hard. I don't know if you could start a company like this today and make it survive.
Not like that.
No. It's Delmark is an institution. There's
yes,
no
it
doubt
is.
About it.
Yes,
you know,
it is.
Really is a great label.
It's a great people.
What else you got? You got anything else that you played on? Let's
sure.
Give it to us. Give it to me. Tell me what it is.
Okay.
What should we play on this? Tad Robinson.
Tad Robinson.
Yeah,
one of my favorite guys to
okay.
work with. He's been kind enough to have me on two CDs of his first two.
All right.
And the second cut, I think.
Payback.
Payback is kind of a nice groove.
Let's listen to Mr. Tad Robinson with Mr. John Hiller playing drums, a tune called Payback.
You know your pretty smile steal a smile from your lips when you were gazing on.
Tad Robinson, Payback. And this too is a Del Mar record, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I'd like to read something here. It says, this is from the liner notes of Mr. Tad Robinson's album. It says, Robinson's rhythm section, let me see, Harlan Terson, bass, John Hiller drums, is truly one of Chicago's finest. John's groove is just a constant source of amazement, Robinson said. He's so solid, so in the pocket. Hiller recorded with Jimmy Johnson and Eddie Clearwater when he was still a teenager. He made his Del Mar debut with Dave Spector and Barkin' Bill Smith on Bluebird Blues. That's nice.
That's very nice. Absolutely. Actually, I never read that.
I always scan these information sheets to see what I can find.
Ah.
That's very nice of them to say that, and it's very true, man.
He's
an excellent drummer. And sometimes a really good drummer is hard to find.
Oh, that's what they tell me.
Yeah. You just finished working with a dear, dear friend of mine named Matt Lucas.
Yes, I did.
And tell us a little bit about that session.
Well, first thing I want to say is that, you know, every once in a while something really great just happens, you know, and you're really blessed by, you know, the Del Mar stuff or doing shows with Chuck Berry or over the years, and then all of a sudden something comes up like Matt Lucas.
Yeah.
And I actually recorded with Matt back in the early 80s, and then which was 83, so it's been quite a while since we did something. It was called the Chicago Sessions. And through Mark Brumbach, my friend and piano player who's on a lot of stuff and on the Muddy tribute, went down to see Matt at the Ponderosa Stomp.
Yeah.
And said, you know, hey, Matt, it's been a while since you've done something. I said, why don't we get together and make some more recordings? And Matt said, sure. So that kind of got the ball rolling, and I was excited about having Matt come up because, you know, well, you know Matt.
Yeah.
Matt's a lot of fun.
Yes, he is.
You know, he's and you know what? Matt's kind of weird because he can do everything. I mean, he can sing a blues tune.
Yeah.
And I'd like to play that for you. And then he can sing a country tune. He can sing a rockabilly tune. He can sing an R&B tune.
Yeah.
And he does it all really well.
Yeah.
And to top it all off, Matt's good friend Charlie Musselwhite is on a couple of tracks as well. And then when Mark was also down in New Orleans, asked James Burton if he'd like to join and play on the record. And he said yes.
Oh, man.
So we all end up in Chicago in September of 2004 with, again, you know, Mark was great in finding a great stand-up bass player, good electric bass player. We got James Burton, Matt Lucas, and made some great music, I think.
Yeah. And, of course, you played drums on it.
Yes.
Who was the stand-up bass player? Do you remember?
I don't know his last name, but his first name was Nick, and he's from Cincinnati, Ohio. That's all I know. But he was outstanding.
Yeah.
Really good.
Why don't we play one of those Matt Lucas cuts? Which one would you like to pick?
Boy, we ought to talk about that for a second, because there's so many good ones. Maybe.
I know, but we're on the air live here. So,
well, if you want to go right to the first, we can do 6 Days on the Road, if you'd like.
Okay. 6 Days on the Road, a record I promoted years and years ago by Mr. Dave Dudley. Let's play Mr. Matt Lucas and 6 Days on the Road, and
great.
I'm going to make it home tonight.
Right, Matt Lucas.
I'm
Who's playing sax on that?
That is Ron Duar, who's been around the Chicagoland area for a long time, but actually played with Elvis as a pickup artist back in the 70s.
I'll be darned. He sure blows.
He does. He's outstanding.
Now, that session sounds like you guys had a ball.
You know what? That was one of the most enjoyable sessions I've ever done in my entire career. Take a bunch of really nice guys, mm-hmm. having a great time, and good lunches together, and just a good vibe in the studio, you know? It's just a lot of fun.
Yeah. I mean, working with Matt is always fun. It's always been... I've lived with him, I've worked with him, and the man can make me laugh. I mean, just makes me laugh. And it scared me when I heard that he had some heart problems,
yes.
you know. And specifically, he had just left here. He and Barbara had been staying here with us.
Right.
And, then I get the word from my friend in England told me about it. I didn't even know anything about it, but Mark, I guess, had called that day and found out that it just happened, and Mark sent me an email, Mr. Mark Hansen, who has Blue Power UK, let me know about Matt. Scared me to death, you know, because Matt's no spring chicken.
No. It concerned us all, though.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Know. He told me what happened when he went to that Five and Dime store or whatever.
Yeah.
And collapsed.
Yeah.
Well, that's not good.
Yeah, not good at all. But I talked to him twice yesterday, and he's back on the ball.
Great.
You know, what are we going to do about this? What are we going to do about that?
Right.
You know?
Right.
By the way, what are you going to call Matt's new CD?
Matt's new CD is Matt Lucas Back in the Saddle Again.
Back in the Saddle Again.
Yeah.
And what label will that be on?
It'll be out on 1009 Records.
1009 Records, and that's your label, right?
That's my label, yes.
Dynamite, man. That's marvelous. And you know, we're getting close to the end of the day here. I can't believe it.
It's gone quick.
It has gone quick. I'm amazed. Well, I'll tell you what. What would you like to go out with? Because this is what would you like to play? You name it, we'll play it. Anything that you have that you brought with you.
Let's see.
Something of Matt's, whatever you'd like to do.
Let's stick with Matt. You know, there's some good stuff on there. We got Blue Moon of Kentucky. There's Blue Moon.
Blue Moon of Kentucky.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Sounds great.
All right.
Blue Moon. Blue Moon. Keep shining bright. Blue Moon. Keep it shining bright. I want to be with the one I love tonight. Blue Moon. Keep shining bright. I said Blue Moon. Kentucky, keep on shining. Ooh. Shine on the one that's gone and been untrue. Blue moon of Kentucky, keep on shining. Ooh. Shine on the one that's gonna let me blue. It was on one moonlit night, stars shining bright, whispering on high, your love it can't survive. Blue moon of Kentucky, shine on the one who's gonna be untrue. It was on one moonlit night, stars are shining bright, whispering on high, survive. Blue moon of Kentucky, keep on shine. Shine on the world that's gone and been untrue. Blue moon, blue moon, blue moon, keep shining bright. Blue moon, keep on shining bright. I wanna be with the one I love tonight. Blue moon, keep it shining bright. Blue moon, keep it shining bright.
Mr. Matt Lucas, Blue Moon of Kentucky, keep it shining bright. From Matt's new album, Back in the Saddle Again, on 1009 Records. This time I got it right. I'd like to thank Mr. John Hiller for taking the time to come by and spend some time with Blue Power this afternoon. Thank you so much, John.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a lot of fun.
I have learned an awful lot from you this afternoon. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you, John.
You're welcome anytime you come back out here.
Thank you so much.
I'd also like to remind everybody to listen to Smokestack Lightning. Now you can pick it up. There's a link right on the front page of Blue Power. Check it out. The best blues from the southern United States. Also listen to Mr. Mark Hansen, who plays Northern Soul from BluePower.com UK. You'll love it. Thank you so much for listening to Blue Power. We always appreciate it. And remember, you are unique in the universe. There is no one quite like you.